You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 24 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be looking back at the 3-0 win over Burnley. We'll be joined by Mr. Mujak from the RedCafe.net forums to discuss all things reserve and youth team football. Feenan Shorts is the second contestant on the CAF countdown, and a whole fan joins us on the line to preview this Saturday's Premier League encounter.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net. Or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Welcome to episode 24 of the RedCafe.net podcast. It's me, Stephen Darwin, and I'm joined by Dan and Dov, as I always am. How are we, guys, this week?
I'm good, thanks, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You been up to much?
Not really. I went to see a game of football yesterday, Bolton v Arsenal. Decent game, and I think we should sign Fabregas.
Very good, Dan.
He was amazing, to be honest with you. I mean, it's one of the best midfield displays I've seen in a while. I was very impressed.
Hey, we've got Darren Fletcher. We don't need Fabregas.
How are you this week, Tom?
Not too bad, Steve. I'm pretty boring, to be honest. I just watch too much football. I'm trying to think of something really interesting to say. Like I went skydiving or something like that. But really, it's just watching loads of football. That's pretty much it.
And I suppose you watched... did you watch Milan? A little bit of a report on them.
Actually, I didn't. This is the first weekend in a long time I've not watched them. I watched Roma Genoa instead, but I watched the highlights of Milan, and we've got a lot to worry about. Let's just say that.
I know. I was reading the reports, and apparently, did Ronaldinho get a hat trick as well?
Got a hat trick. He was amazing. Yeah. Borello scored a quality goal, and Andrea Pirlo was fantastic. So,
how did Mr. Beckham perform?
He was steady. His first game when he played against Genoa was fantastic. Controlled the game. The second two games he's been steady, but like I say, Ronaldinho is pretty much back to where he was with Barcelona, which is scary stuff.
Certainly banging form at the moment, but we're here to discuss United, guys. Let's start with Burnley at home on Saturday. 3-0 win. Dan, decent win, wasn't it, against they were looking quite a threatening side, weren't they, Burnley, on the counter attack anyway. 0-0 at half time, but eventually came back to seal the win. Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I was pleased. I mean, Burnley were very unlucky. Some of the chances they had, it was quite amazing, really. They didn't put any of them away. I mean, especially, was it David Nugent who went past Neville like he wasn't even there? He should really have finished that one. Obviously, the Stephen Fletcher one as well. But, I mean, I thought that United showed good resilience, still look a bit shaky at the back, but going forward, we looked as good as we have done for a while. And I actually thought that Rooney and Berbatov, they linked up quite well against Burnley. And I thought, I was relieved to see Berbatov get a goal. I know it was deflected, but I thought it was, he should get a bit of confidence after that now. Just hope he's not injured now, like all the reports are suggesting.
Steve, I only get, I would say maybe about 10 text messages off Dan a season, and it's almost like Berbatov scores.
Well, it's deserved. I mean, I think that... did you see the little bit of skill earlier on in the game when he flicked it over his head and just hit the post? He should have scored that, really.
That was fantastic.
If that goes in, that's possibly one of the goals of the season, maybe. But, he was unlucky at it at the post. And he had a few shots on target and a few off target as well, so he was showing a little bit more determination to get on the score sheet. And I thought Rooney was his foil, and it worked well. And again, Valencia, for me, was man of the match.
So everything goes out to him. I noticed that in the first half. Any sort of attacking threat, I was always get the ball to Valencia and see what he can do, see if he can get a ball in or take a guy on.
Yeah, I mean, well, why would you not do it? I mean, the guy's got bags of pace. All right, his crossing's a little bit... it's inconsistent, majority of the time. But when he does whip a good crossing, it is dangerous. On the left-hand side, I thought Nani did okay for his first start since October. You know, I thought he didn't do too badly. But again, he just drifts in and out of games. The points where he did really well, and there were other points where he does an air shot on the edge of the box, which it's not welcomed by the crowd, was it?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to defend Nani because I knew this. I knew like Nani would maybe get a little bit of criticism. I mean, it's his first game for months. He's been out. He's been injured. He needs a run of games. Hopefully, he can get this. This is going to be the start of a maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 game run where he can get some form together. and maybe shows what he can do, because he's pretty much fighting for his future at the club as well, so he's obviously got something to prove, and the World Cup's coming up and he'll want to be in the Portugal side.
He's not so much fighting, he's getting off the canvas now, Dov. I mean, he's down and out. You know, I don't think there's any way back for him unless someone gets injured and it's just a mad run to the end of the season. But Steve mentioned before we started the podcast that he's not in the squad for tomorrow's game.
That'd be interesting. I just hope he gets a run of games. I really want him to get a run of games. So after the kind of cup game, give him a run of games, or give him a game at the weekend.
And what about Mammy Diouf, Dov? Goal on his home debut, and we haven't seen much of him yet, but I suppose getting your first goal nice and early in your career at United, it must be sort of a big weight off your shoulders, mustn't it, for a striker anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to the commentary on when I was watching the game. Was basically saying that it took Ole Solskjaer, I think, 18 minutes from his debut. Obviously, they came from the same club in Norway, and took Ole Solskjaer 18 minutes to score. And I don't know, I can't remember how many it took Diouf. I think it was maybe, I don't know, it was roughly about the same, about 20 minutes as well. So he's doing not too bad. But I think he took his goal well. And it looks a bit awkward to me, a bit raw. I think it'll maybe take him a wee while to properly get into his stride, but I mean, there's promise there. Let's just hope that he fulfills it, unlike some of the other strikers that we've bought in recent years.
Would you go along with that, Dan? The fact that you're a young striker, you've come to such a massive club, there's pressure on your shoulders to perform, and then surely getting your first goal so early on is going to be a big weight off your shoulders, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, we saw what happened with Diego Forlan. You know, when he came to the club, it took him a while to get his first goal. But when he did, he scored a few goals after that, and it's all about confidence. He did okay against Birmingham when he came on for, you know, 20 minutes there, and he did okay on Saturday as well. Got his goal. I thought he was quite brave as well to go up with a beast, but you know, he got his head on it, and it luckily enough it went in, and we saw a pretty good celebration as well.
Well, Dan mentioned it earlier, Dov. Nugent got through a couple of times. I think there was another few chances that Burnley had on the counter-attack. Neville, Brown and Evans, they were being overrun at times, weren't they? I mean, is that a worrying sign for you, or do you just think that Burnley were going to be a sort of threat on the counter-attack, considering they would have been on the back foot most of the game anyway?
I didn't expect them to be that much of a threat. And to be fair, 3-0 really flattered us as far as I'm concerned, because Burnley, for my money, they should have been 2-0 up in the first half. Fletcher had a golden opportunity, so did Nugent. And one player, Chris Eagles, was fantastic. The amount of times he was just willing to take on United players and done it as well, on plenty of occasions, he really sort of came out and showed Sir Alex Ferguson what he's let go. He really had something to prove, and I think he did really, really well. And Burnley were unlucky for basically about three quarters of the game. They were, I'll maybe go and say, the better side.
And Dan, Van der Sar back in the side now. Clean sheet to go with his return too, so all good on that front.
Yeah, but I mean, he was lucky to get a clean sheet, wasn't he, really? I don't think we can read too much into his clean sheet, but he did everything that was expected of him. Yeah, I mean, it's good to have him back. I still think he's a lot more reliable than Kuzak or Foster. Just gives that a little bit more confidence to the back four. And I hope he plays tomorrow night as well.
And what do you think that means for Foster's future, though? Obviously, Kuzak's had his nice little run in the first team. Van der Sar, first game that he's been actually available for a wee while. And he's been straight into the first team. Foster, a lot of rumours that he's maybe going to go. I think Tottenham have recently had a bid rejected, and obviously, like it's been said, that he's not going to go on loan. So what do you think his future holds? Steve, what do you think? Because you're a big Foster fan. So,
Well, like you say, I think Redknapp just recently denied they made a bid today. But I think it's ominous, isn't it? I don't think he's in the squad for the Carling Cup game on Tuesday. So I think the signs are pretty clear, aren't they? Usually he would have been in the squad, wouldn't he, surely? But no, I think Kuzak's done superbly well. He's proved himself as a really capable understudy, and even further, being potentially the one to replace Edwin van der Sar. I mean, he's done nothing wrong since he's had that little flurry of games in the first team. So I think it's a tad harsh on Foster in that, yeah, he made a couple of errors, but I don't know. I think he deserved another chance, but yeah, that's all in the past now, and I think that's going to be it for him, to be honest.
I think he'll get another chance eventually. It only takes someone to get injured again, and then he's back in the first team squad, isn't he? I think he's still a decent keeper, and as long as if he keeps working hard, there's no reason why Fergie won't give him another shot.
How long will he wait to get this other chance?
He's not. I mean, he's not the oldest keeper, is he? I mean, he's still fairly young for a goalkeeper. What is he? Is he 26? Something like that, Foster.
Yeah.
And you know, he could come really good when he's 30, 31. So, I mean, there's still plenty of years ahead of him.
Yeah, but Dan, is he, he's not realistically going to sit on the bench, or not even on the bench, in the reserves for...
No, but Doc, think about where he's come from, though. I mean, he was hardly, you know, he wasn't a big name when we bought him. I mean, he was playing for Stoke Reserves. I mean, he don't even made, did he even make a first-team appearance for Stoke? I'm not sure if he did. Then he went to Watford on loan. So, I think he's realistic in the fact that he's looking to be at a club like United. And, I mean, if I was him, I'd be disappointed not to be in the team. Of course I would, but... at the same time, you're a massive club like United, and it only takes, like I say, you know, one person to get injured, and you're back in with a shout.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, is he's not going to wait. He won't wait until somebody's injured or until he gets another chance. He wants to play football, and if he's not going to get that at United, he'll leave.
Things can happen quickly at football clubs. I mean, if for instance, someone came in for Kuzak in the summer, like, you know, a decent bid, Fergie would probably let him go, and then Foster's number two then. You know, I think there's a lot of things. It depends on circumstances, doesn't it? And Van der Sar's not going to be around much longer after this season, I don't think. So I think he should just bide his time, just for, you know, even if it's another season.
Okay, well, before we move on to the emails, guys, what about the bit of news that came out this week surrounding Pep Guardiola? A couple of sort of newspapers linking him to the job when Ferguson retires. His contract expires in the summer. Barcelona president Laporta, he's rubbished the reports that there's any chance of him coming to United. But Dan, realistically, do you think he could come to United? And in your view, would he be the right sort of man for the job?
I'd prefer Mourinho over Guardiola, but because, you know, just on experience-wise, I know Guardiola's won the lot last year. But I don't know, really. He's not signing a contract, is he, at Barcelona? Or at least he's putting it off a little bit, trying to get a better deal or whatnot. But he'd definitely be a good, you know, person to bring into the club if other managers didn't want to make the step up. I'm sure Guardiola's ambitious enough to want to do that. I mean, he's already managing one of the best clubs in the world as it is right now. So, you know, it depends. Like, again, it's all circumstance, isn't it? You know, you can't really say when Ferguson's going to retire, if it's in, you know, 2 or 3 years, where will Guardiola, you know, be at that point in his career, and where were the other managers as well? So, at this moment, I would quite like him, but at the same time, you don't know what's going to happen in 3 years.
Okay, well, we'll move on to the email section now, guys. Just a couple of emails this week. Safi and Ben Zaire, Dov, he's asked about Everton's Stephen Pienaar. He's been in form this season, been one of Everton's top performers. He thinks he'd be a useful addition in the summer anyway. Do you agree with that, or you sort of think he's not really got the quality to make it at United?
I don't think he's United class at all. He said he's had a good season, but I mean, when he was at Ajax the start of the last decade, showed a lot of promise, but then sort of went on the wane a little bit. And really, I don't think he's up there with the type of player that we need. I think we need world class players, or players that are going to develop into world class players. He's 27 years old, so basically he's at the top of his profession. This is as good as he's going to get, and I don't think if you're playing big European teams, Milan, Barcelona, Real Madrid, he's the guy that's going to make chances for you. I think he's having a good season, granted, but he's not United class at all.
I think he'd be decent as a squad player, but like you say, I mean, in a Champions League quarter final or semi final, I'm not sure he'd make the step up. To be fair, we've already got players who can do it anyway.
Okay, well, Sean Fields, Dan, he says he's pleased to get back to winning ways with the win over Burnley, but he's still not convinced that we're looking anywhere near the team we were last season. I suppose that's a fair comment, but where would you put your finger on what's sort of not right compared to last season? Is it mainly the Ronaldo factor?
No, not at all. I think it's more to do with the defence and the injuries. I mean, a lot of people will say that's an excuse, but I mean, if you lose so many defenders, and especially the key ones like, you know, Ferdinand and Vizic, you know, O'Shea's not played since he played for the Republic of Ireland. So they're big players to miss, and, you know, we're starting to miss John O'Shea, and it shows how important he is to the club when he's not playing.
John O'Shea is very important, Dan. Can I just say something about last season? Apparently, from everything that I've read, apparently we have more points and have scored more goals than at the same sort of period last season from where we are now. So theoretically, we are doing better than last season if you go by sort of points and goals in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean, we obviously do miss Ronaldo. Let's not be naive and say, you know, we don't miss him at all. Of course we do. I think the area where we miss him most is, you know, if an attack's broken down from the opposition, our keeper gets the ball. The first thing that Ronaldo used to do, he'd peel away to the left or the right, and he'd be in so much space. And we don't have anyone who really does that at the moment. So we're not counter-attacking like we did last year. But I mean, I think that's the only major difference that I've seen so far.
I would say finishing as well, Dan. I think our finishing is terrible.
We don't
really create many chances whatsoever. Even when we're on top of teams, really, really struggle to get through them. Like Burnley, pretty much, if they sat back, they would struggle to get through them at times. And a lot of teams have done that this season. Just sort of they've set their team up, and we're not breaking them down like we used to do.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing with Ronaldo is, you know, if you're an opposition manager, you'd double up on Ronaldo as much as you could. Which means there's more space then for other players, and that's not happening maybe as much as what it did last year either with no Ronaldo. So you know, I think we do miss him, but I think we're doing okay without him.
Well, it's the second week of the CAF countdown now. We had Eric who come on last week, and he got a fantastic 7 answers out of 7 questions asked. So this week we've got Feeling Shorts from the RedCafe.net forums. Dan, take it away.
Right, okay, you have 1 minute to answer as many questions as you can. Clock starts now. Who did Paul Scholes bag a brace against on his senior debut?
Ipswich.
Which current Leicester City player made his only senior appearance for United at Villa Park in a League Cup tie in 1999?
Max Ryan. Not. But...
United lost the 1979 FA Cup final to who?
Aston Villa.
Who scored Bayern Munich's only goal in the Champions League final in 1999?
Karsten Janka.
From which club did United sign Lee Sharp in 1988?
Torquay.
George Best was remarkably sent off for Northern Ireland against Scotland in 1970, but for what? Throwing mud at the ref, swearing at the ref, or slapping the ref?
Throwing mud at him.
What squad number does goalkeeper Ben Amos currently wear?
Archer.
Right, okay, right. You answered 7 questions, and you got 3 right. The ones you got wrong, you got the first 4 wrong. Scholes got a brace against Port Vale. The Leicester City player now is Richie Wellens. He lost the 79 final to Arsenal, and it was Mario Basler who scored in the Champions League final against us, against Schmeichel.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot Basler, but I'm a bit young for other ones, so.
How old are you?
17.
Alright, well, might have found that a little bit harder then.
Yeah, I did. Last week should have been alright.
Oh, well, no worries anyway. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, no problem. Right.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, let's pick out our cabbage and player of the week for this week now then. Dov, I'll link to you first. Who's your player of the week to start with?
I'm going to give it to... I think I'm going to give it to Evra this week. Just because it was... Again, solid at the back and the best of quite a ragged defensive bunch, and I thought he played well.
Dan?
I think Valencia. Valencia had a really good game. It was either him or Berbatov, but I think Valencia for his all-round contribution. If he'd have got a goal, it would have been a pretty top-notch display, but you know, I'm satisfied with what he did.
What about you, Steve?
Valencia or one of the two front men, Rooney or... Berbatov. I think I'm going to go Valencia as well, to be honest. Really has been one of our top performers this season and continued that against Burnley. I thought he was probably our best player out there. Looked a threat all the time going forward, and the Burnley left back Stephen Jordan was just lost. He didn't know what to do. So fantastic stuff, Valencia for me. Cabbage of the week. I'll start, and I'm going to give it to Gary Neville. I think thought he was probably the worst out of the back four, and other than Evra, as Dov mentioned, the other three were pretty poor, in all honesty, Brown and Evans. So, yeah, Gary Neville is my cabbage of the week. Dan, what about you?
Well, I was going to go with Gary Neville, but seeing as you've stolen my thunder, I'm going to go with Michael Carrick. I thought that that wasn't one of his better games, didn't have much influence on it. I don't think Carrick and Scholes particularly work well as a pair in midfield, maybe with the three, but No, I thought Carrick was a bit poor, and when Anderson came on, he seemed to liven things up a little bit. What about you, Dov?
Well, I was going to give it to Gary Neville as well, but again, because Steve stole that, I think I'm going to give it to Wes Brown. I thought he was pretty woeful as well, and really looked scared when the Burnley front players were running at him at pace, and I think he needs to get fitness and form back very, very quickly, or he'll find himself on the bench soon enough.
Just going to say, do you think Wes Brown's maybe not 100% fit, because he's had a few poor displays lately, hasn't he?
I think so. I think he came back a bit too early from injury. I think that might be part of the problem, but because we've got no defenders, he's having to play. I think the same maybe with Evans as well. Maybe they've come back maybe a week or two too early. But apparently Rio's going to be back quite soon. Vidic should be back as well, so hopefully we'll have a full strength defence to pick from the next few weeks at least.
And what about your cabbage, Dan? I mean, in terms of Carrick's season, he's not really having a great season, is he?
No, I mean, I think he's flirted in and out of it, really. He's not... I don't know the stats, but I don't think he's played as many games as what he has done in previous seasons, and I think it's been a bit sort of inconsistent. There's a lot of players vying for the same midfield spots. You've got, obviously, Carrick, you've got Anderson, Scholes, Fletcher, Hargreaves when he comes back. Giggs has obviously played there a few times as well in central midfield. So I think that the competition's tough, which is only good for the club, but Carrick needs to step up a little bit, I think. I've been disappointed the last few games that I've seen him play. But I'm sure he's got the quality that's needed. And, you know, with it being a World Cup year as well, I thought he would have, put in some more solid performances, forced his way into the World Cup squad.
You said Hargreaves there, Dan, didn't you say he was past it?
I think it depends. I said if he doesn't come back from his injury, I don't think, you know.
You said you think he's finished, Dan. You said that's a goal.
That's my personal opinion, but he's still a decent player if he's not finished, is what I'm trying to say. But I think that, like I said last week, I think he's finding it tough. I mean, I don't know the guy personally, but I think he's finding it tough.
Okay, well, it's a long-awaited return for Reserves Review. We haven't had it for quite a while now, but the Academy did play, and Dov's going to bring us news of a FA Youth Cup win.
Yeah, what was that? It was a fantastic win against Burnley as well, so I'm quite fitting that we spoke with them. It was at Turf Moor, and it was in last week. It was a great display from the under-18s. Paul McGuinness really got them playing well. 5-1 was the final score. That's right, 5-1, everybody. I'll just run you through some of the goals. The game started off quite quiet, just put the teams feeling each other out. Then David Petrucci, he struck on 22 minutes. It was a great passing move from the whole team. I think it was about 9 or 10 passes in all between the team. Then Josh King, he had a shot, it was blocked, and then Petrucci was the first to react to the loose ball and just slotted it through a cluster of players and just inside the post. So that was 1-0 on 22 minutes. Not that long later, 6 minutes in fact, Larnell Cole, he profited from some defensive hesitancy from some of the Burnley defenders, nicked the ball just outside the 6-yard box, drifted into the byline, pulled it back to King, who was in the corner there. He slotted into the far corner as well. A fantastic finish from Josh King there. We were absolutely dominating by half an hour. And Nicky Ajosi, he won the ball off one of the Burnley players. He gave it to Tony Cliff, who then gave it to Larnell Cole, who hit a fantastic through pass for Will Keane, who lobbed the keeper. It was a great goal. We had another couple of chances to score, but if it wasn't for Burnley keeper, I think it was Danny McDonald, his name is. He made a couple of saves, one from Petrucci as well. After the half-time interval, United came and got their fourth. What happened was Josh King intercepted a straight pass. Basically, it was like Roadrunner getting away from his marker, cut inside a defender, and then just sort of finished the ball into the back of the net. So that's 4-0. So obviously you can tell, you think, well, we're going to maybe take it down a notch. So the game sort of maybe, you say, petered out a little bit, but I mean, we were in like control before Burnley got a consolation on 84 minutes. Basically, it was a bit of an untidy goal in the United penalty box. And then Joe McKee, he scrambled at home. Nothing really too good about that. And then, 4 minutes later, Paul Pogba, who was fantastic the whole game, got possession, found Kofi, who then basically released Wilkin, who drilled the ball into the back of the net. 5-1, a fantastic performance. And, well, considering we've got all these financial problems and such, like, maybe a couple of these young players could make the step up. Petrucci, Josh King, Wilkin and Paul Pogba all looked fantastic for the under-18s, so let's hope that they have excellent futures, because we're going by that performance, so we're all fantastic.
Well, it's not just the return of reserves review this week. We've actually got a special treat for you, because we've got Mr. Mujak back on the show from the redcafe.net forums. He hasn't been on for a good couple of months now, but we've got him on the show this week, and he's going to give us some insight on youth team and reserve football at United.
We are indeed, Steve. We have, like you say, it's Tony Park, also known as Mr. Mujak to everybody on the Red Cafe. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm good, yourself. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year as well. It's been a long time since we spoke to you last. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, good. It's been very, very quiet on the reserve and academy level with the weather postponing so many games, so it was really good to get back in action last Wednesday with a very good performance at Burnley in the Youth Cup.
Indeed, we just spoke about there. I mean, before we get into that, actually, before we get into some of the players, I just want to, it's a new year, get some of your thoughts on the last calendar year, 2009. Is there any player or a team performance, things like that have actually stood out for you in the past calendar year?
I think on the player front, there's two or three players who I've been very impressed with. One name that's sort of gone off the calendar because of his loan spell is Tom Cleverley. I thought the first half of the calendar year, the second half of last season, I thought Tom was outstanding. And he seems to have really grown into a player who could well make it at our club. It'd be very interesting to see what the coaching staff think of his development and his progress. It'd be very interesting to see how he fits in to reserve or fringe style when he returns, whenever that's going to be. But I predict that he will certainly go places. I like him a lot. The other two players, not so much at reserve level, but at youth level. One has been Will Keane. I think he's turning into an excellent footballer. I've mentioned him a couple of times before, but the more I watch him play, the more astute he is, the more capable he is, and he's put in a couple of wonderful performances. You say performances, he's hat-trick against City in October. I thought it was one of the most outstanding forward displays of the season. He was just clinical in every stretch. Very, very good player. And I think everybody knows Josh King. He would probably be the star player of 2009. He's come back from injury, and he's put in some tremendous performances. And well earned call up to the Carling Cup side earlier in this campaign.
That you predicted as well, Tony.
I just thought he might get a run with his... He was doing so well for the reserves. He was scoring goals. He was a constant threat. He was just very, very strong in so much of what he was doing. It sort of made sense for Ferguson to give him a run. And I was not surprised he did that, particularly, you mentioned, you know, what were some of the standout games. I really liked our 4-0 win over Sunderland in the Reserve League in very early October, when Magnus Ekblom got a couple of goals, but Josh King got two as well. And they didn't know what to do with him that night. And I just thought, if Fergie knows what's going on with Ollie in the reserves, you know, he's going to get a call up, and he did. And I was pleased for the lad, and he took his chance well. He had a couple of cracks on goal in the first team. And if he can stay clear of injuries, that's his problem, is his injuries. If he can stay clear, I think there's a bright future there. Funnily enough, Dov, I was talking to a few lads on Wednesday night at the Burnley game, and we were trying to rack our brains about when was the last time that a forward really impressed us as much as Josh King. And we, you know, Giuseppe Rossi's name came to the fore, Mark Robbins came to the fore, one or two lads from the youth teams in the 90s with the, Fergie's lads coming through. But we had to go back to Norman Whiteside to actually get someone who has impressed us that much. I'm not saying he's in Norman's class, that'd be silly, but certainly since that period, 1981, I've not been so impressed with a forward coming through our ranks.
Well, that is high praise indeed. Let's hope it does come through, because we could be doing with a couple of youth products coming through the team. I want to stick with the youth player. Yeah, sorry, Tony. I want to stick with a couple of youth players as well. We signed Paul Pogba recently. How has he been doing since he joined the club? He had a fantastic performance against Burnley last week as well. I mean, how has he sort of looked to you overall?
That sort of performance was just typical of him. He's graceful on the pitch. He just glides over the pitch. He eats the ground up. He doesn't even look like he's running at all. He's strong in the tackle. He can pass a football. He can shoot for goal. He's strong. He's got the physical side of the game. You know, I'm very impressed. He seems to have the temperament as well. And he's already been likened to Patrick Vieira, and that's a good comparison. I know he's very young. He's only 16 years old, but he's already been called up to the reserves. He's made a great jump from, you know, football he was having in France to reserve team football in England. I think a lot of him. I really do.
And then what about we've got two young Italians, in particular Michele Farnassi and Alberto Masacci. What are your impressions of them as well since they've joined?
A little bit harder with the defenders for a couple of reasons. They've been in and out of the side. Farnassi has been injured. And I like him a lot. I think he's more cultured in the centre. He's not the most tallest of lads, but he reads the game well. He's strong in the tackle. Masacci, I've been a little bit disappointed with, not in terms of anything in particular, not in terms of attitude or anything like that. He just seems a little bit crude. He doesn't lack pace. Maybe he's just naive, or maybe he's just still trying to settle into the English way of playing the game. But he was booked on Wednesday for a rash tackle and then made another rash tackle not long afterwards, and Paul McGinnis took him straight off. And I think that side of him, he just looks a little bit lacking in class as the other two do. But I may be doing him a big disservice, or maybe we just need to give him a bit more time to settle into the side. As I say, he's not been a regular, he's been in and out of the team. And I think for young lads coming through, that doesn't always help. So... Pogba clearly the standout of the new lads coming in. Farnese has done okay. Masacci still a bit to do. But the young boys, they're still a long way to go.
Indeed they have. We'll jump up to the reserves. A lot of people have been wanting to know about Zoran Tosic. Because as far as I'm aware, I've seen he's been quite a hit in the reserves, playing well, scoring goals, etc. But he doesn't seem to get his chance in the first team, and we seem to be struggling for sort of left-sided player in the first team. I mean, what's your take on it? I know we spoke about it before, but I mean, what's your take on it now, especially since he's been linked with a move away from the club?
I'm totally confused by the whole thing, to be perfectly honest with you. You're absolutely right. Whenever he's played in the reserves, he's shown a step of class. Maybe he's not been as consistent as we would like. Certainly... some people expect more from him, even at reserve level, given the class that he has got and the people he's playing against. But nevertheless, he does what he's asked to do. He contributes, he scores goals. I don't know why he's not getting a run in the first team. As I said to you before, he's very slight. He hasn't got the physical side of the game. His decision-making, he still needs to work on. But then again, there's two or three first-team players like Welbeck and McCady you can say the same thing about. Even Nani, you could argue that, you know, his decision-making isn't the best. So I'm not sure. I really don't know why he is or isn't, you know, playing in the first team. He was on the bench against Leeds but didn't get a run when we were crying out for a little bit of width and creativity. Very, very perplexing. The whole thing is very perplexing.
Interesting stuff. And what are your thoughts on the Lacic collapse, the collapse of that transfer deal?
This one is totally if you've been reading some of the comments on the cafe, it's confused a lot of people. I think this is my personal view. I have no input from anybody at the club, or it's purely my gut instinct. I think there's something going on behind the scenes. I think that the deal, there's something wrong in the deal, and United want to just wash their hands of it very, very quickly, which could also be why they're linking Tosic with the move away, because they don't want to get, I don't know whether they're going to get in trouble with the authorities over something. I don't know if there's some dirty handedness going in with the agents. There's something that doesn't ring true here, and I don't think it's got anything to do with their playing ability, because from what I can read, what I've been reading about Lacic, or Ih, I think you pronounce his name, what I've been reading about him, he's been performing really, really well over in Croatia. So I'm really confused about it. But the way that it's ended, something's going on somewhere. I just don't believe that you can just say, oh, we changed our mind. I just don't think it works like that.
Yeah, indeed it is. I mean, he's had a decent season for Partizan, and he's actually moved to Fiorentina in Serie A in the transfer window. So
that's right, yeah.
He's clearly got some kind of talent if they're going to pick him up. But, we'll always run out of time with you, Tony, but we hope to get you on very, very soon, obviously, with the reserve and youth players getting back into the swing of things. We'll be able to get you on in the next couple of weeks as well, if you're up for that.
Happy to do so. We've got Oriental Blackburn. I'm not sure how the result went tonight, but we've got one of those away in the next round of the Youth Cup, and look forward to talking to you again.
Excellent stuff. Well, thank you very much, Tony. It's been a pleasure.
Take care now.
You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, it's preview time on the redcafe.net podcast now. We've got two games coming up this week. Of course, we've got Manchester City, massive game in the League Cup semi-final first leg. And we've also got Hull at home on Saturday in the Premier League too. But we'll kick off with the City game, of course. Dan, massive game, isn't it? Arguably more so for them, really, than us. They're likely to go out and play their strongest team, aren't they? Because they know that's a realistic chance of winning some silverware this season. And that's not happened quite a long time. So, Dan, Ferguson, he said he's going to look to play a bit of a mixture of both youth and experience. In your opinion, is that the right way to sort of approach the game? We saw what happened to a youthful side against Leeds. It didn't really work out, did it? So could that backfire for us against City on Tuesday?
No, I think he owes it to the players that he's played throughout the tournament to play, you know, a similar sort of team. I think that Darren Gibson will get a start. Possibly Raphael as well at right back, and I think that he'll take it seriously. There'll be a few big names in there. I imagine Rooney will play. Got took off on Saturday, so I imagine he'll start the game. I was hoping that Ferdinand would get a run out, but I think it's a bit too soon for him. So all in all, I think we've got a decent squad to choose from. So it is a massive game, like you say, and we've already lost to Liverpool this season. We lost to Chelsea, obviously humiliated by Leeds. So I think we need to get a good win over one of our rivals.
And Dov, how important will it be to sort of come away from Eastlands with a decent result with the second leg in mind? We don't want to be chasing the game, do we?
No, certainly not. I'm a tiny bit worried about this, to be honest. I think Fergie did say before the first game got postponed that he was going to play the kids. So I think I'd expect him to stick with that. And I just think the way that obviously City got beat at the weekend, and I think they'll be looking to bounce back as well, because obviously they've been touted as title challengers for some odd reason after winning a couple of games. So I think they'll be wanting to maybe prove something, and obviously they want to win a trophy, because they won't be taken seriously as a new Big Four club in quotation marks unless they win some silverware. So I honestly think it'll be a really, really tough game, and I think we'll struggle to come away with a positive result, to be honest.
Dov, I mean, feel free to shoot me down for this comment, but do you think, in a way, Ferguson might be sort of tempted to play the kids as, you know, in a way, a bit of a safety blanket, because City are on form at the moment, and if they were to turn us over by a couple of goals, at least Ferguson can turn around and say, well, it was a bit of youthful exuberance, they needed that sort of experience, and they'll learn from it, that sort of thing. Whereas if you play a full strength team and you lose that game, that could be demoralising for morale, couldn't it?
It could be as well. I mean, the thing is, the full strength team isn't playing very well, so maybe that could be another reason for throwing in the kids. Maybe a bit less pressure as well, because it's pretty much nailed on that Manchester City are going to field a strong team, as strong as they can possibly field. And if we field a team full of kids, then just be like, go out and play. Things like something along sort of that sort of line, and less pressure to come up.
It's a big atmosphere for them, though, isn't it? I mean, obviously away at City will be quite fiery, won't it? I think the City fans will get right behind their team. And for young players, you either sink or swim, I suppose, don't you? There's enough players there, though, to encourage them along and get them through the game. But that's my only worry, you know, the whole experience. It'll do them well in the future, but for tomorrow's game, it's going to be hard for them.
Dan, the Carlos Tevez factor, he's banging form at the minute, isn't he? And he said he's after a bit of revenge against United, so look out for him, I guess, could be the warning.
Well, we know exactly what Tevez is about. You know, we know what he's going to be doing, what he won't particularly do. I mean, yeah, he's been in good form, but he's not. You know, didn't score against Everton, did he, at the weekend? Decent team, first decent team they've played with Mancini in charge. So, I think that it's a big test for City as well.
And quick prediction, guys. Dov, I'll start with you. You confident we can come away from Easton's with a positive result?
Not at all. I'm going to be very pessimistic. I think we'll probably get beat something like 2-0. I really don't see us coming away from there with a positive result at all.
Dan, do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that, to be honest with you. I think that we've got to be up for this game, and if we're not, then I seriously doubt us for the rest of the season. It's a massive game, you know. It's a cup semi-final. Doesn't matter what cup it is, and I think we'll. I don't think we'll get beat. Put it that way. I think that City will obviously be trying their best, but I think a score draw. So I'm going to go 1-1. I think. Steve, what about you? Confident?
No, I'm a bit like Dov, a bit pessimistic because City are on fire. But at the same time, we shouldn't have to go there and fear them at all. We've still got the likes of Rooney in the side who can turn a game on its head just like that. So yeah, I'm going to say it'll be a draw as well. I think there'll be quite a few goals though, because both defences aren't exactly the greatest at the moment. So yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw, I think. Well, guys, we'll finish off by previewing Hull City at home on Saturday. And Dov, you're going to speak to Paul Cockerton from the 3 o'clock at the Kempton blog.
Well, everybody, it is that time where we have an opposition fan on the RedCafe.net podcast. And we've got somebody who you might well remember, because we actually spoke to him in episode 20, which was broadcast on Christmas Eve. It's Paul Cockerton of the 3 o'clock at the Kempton blog. He's a Hull fan. How are you doing, Paul?
Great, thank you. It's nice to be back so quickly.
It's back so soon. It's a good job you never beat us when we played you before Christmas, because then, well, you'd have a chance to gloat, but I wasn't to be.
Yeah, you'd have invited someone else, I think, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I don't know. It's not often we get fans gloating, so I think we could handle it. But we shall get right in, because obviously we're playing Hull at the weekend. First, we'll start with the game we played last decade. We were, say, a bit lucky to come away with a victory, and you've played very, very well. I mean, does that give you a bit of confidence going into the game at Old Trafford, considering you haven't actually won away from home?
Yeah, I mean, it was a strange game, wasn't it? Because United looked on top, and then we got back into it. But it was just the class of Rooney that told in the end, wasn't it? He was the difference between the two sides. A few of the other big United players didn't really turn up, but Rooney carried them through after obviously setting up the Hull goal. He had a point to prove at the other end. But, yeah, I mean, it gave us a bit of confidence. Since then, we've drawn away at Bolton, thanks to a great performance by Stephen Hunt, in particular, getting two goals. And then we've just obviously drawn at Spurs at the weekend. So we've had two decent away performances since then. So maybe it did give us a bit of confidence. We're not playing too badly at the moment compared to other times this season.
Yeah, like you say, he's aren't playing too badly, but I mean, he's in the relegation zones. I mean, do you think, just going with your season as a whole, do you think you should possibly beat the drop? Some have said that would be a bigger achievement than what he's done last season.
Yeah, I think you'd probably be right. I mean, you do look at the league table, and Portsmouth, I don't know, it could all go very wrong for them, and they could get cut adrift. Burnley look like they're dropping down the league. You'd say Hull and Wolves would probably be the next two teams, so I'd give us a 50% chance of staying up, which isn't too bad. And obviously next season, if we can get the finances sorted and keep all of our better players, bring a few in, then you're looking to get to the next level, which is where your Fulham and your Sunderland teams are never really in relegation danger. That's what you want in the next couple of years for Hull City. So Maybe it'll happen, and it's this season is vitally important, though, because like United, Hull City have got a lot of money worries at the moment. So fingers crossed, if we stay up, a lot of that diminishes.
Yeah, a couple of players that might help you stay up. One who you've recently signed, I think it was only announced today, is the signing of Amir Zaki from Egyptian side Zamalek. What do you make of that signing? Do you think, obviously, it'll have an impact, possibly helping you stay up? And do you think he'll play at the weekend? And if so, what impact will he have?
Well, we're crying out for a goal scorer. Our top scorer is Stephen Hunt from midfield with 5 goals, and our strikers, we've got Jan Venegård of Hesselink, who came down from Celtic. He's got 2. Jose Altidore's yet to get off the mark in the league. So really, we do need a striker up there who can score goals. If you look at how he did it in the first half of last season at Wigan, what a signing. If he's the same player as was at Wigan for the first half of last season, what a signing. But if he's the same person that went AWOL and that, you know, that just didn't look interested towards the end of last season, then obviously it won't pay off. But it's only a short-term contract, 5 months. Not massive gamble, really. I think it's an exciting one in a position like Hull are in. It's about the best that you can hope for, really. You've got to take a risk on someone, and I think this one might pay off. In terms of Saturday, he's got to get his work permit because he's from outside of the EU, and apparently he's just gone back to Egypt for a few days, so he might not be back training until the end of the week. So I think there's a chance he might play at Old Trafford. I wouldn't say for definite, just because there's obviously one or two things behind the scenes to get sorted out. But whether it's Saturday or another time, I think there's some gold in him. I think he'll enliven the rest of the team as well with an actual striker up front who can score and to pass to and to play through.
Before we let you go, Paul, we'll get a prediction off you. I believe you got your prediction right last time as well, so... come on.
Yeah, I'm claiming that one. I think I said 3-1 or 2-1, so I'm claiming the 3-1 as spot on. This one, I think, I'll go for 2-0 to the home side this time. I think we'll do okay. I mean, I'd be very surprised if we won it, just because obviously we've not won away all season. It'd be phenomenal to go to Old Trafford and win it. Obviously, I saw a bit of your game against Burnley, and I think the United players just kept going until the breakthrough came, and whereas Spurs against Hull City, they just didn't have the class to really to break down. Well, I think Manchester United will do on Saturday, so unfortunately I'll say a 2-0 win for United there.
I'll definitely take that one, Paul. Before we go, you've got to say wish you luck for the rest of the season, because obviously this will probably be the last time we do speak to you, because we're not in any cup competitions. But yeah, good luck for the season, and it's been a pleasure having you on both shows.
Oh, it's been brilliant, and I hope we'll be back on again in the Premier League next season.
We look forward to it. Thank you very much, Paul. Cheers.
Thanks a lot, bye.
So guys, let's get our views from the game now. Hull City, as Dov and Paul were talking about there, haven't won away from home this season, conceded 26 goals as well. So Dan, on paper, it should be a pretty rudimentary 3 points, shouldn't it?
It should be, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, we mentioned before about the Burnley game, you know, they hadn't got a point away. Have they got a point, or they've not won away all season, and they put up a good challenge. So I think that Hull will be confident. You know, you can always cause an upset at Old Trafford nowadays if you go and attack us, because, like you say, you know, just then the defence isn't especially brilliant at the moment. But I think we should have the quality to get past Hull City pretty comfortably. But I'd be wary, just, you know, on the counter attack again.
Okay, and surely predictions wise, we've got to be definitely more confident than we will be against City, surely.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should really dispose of Hull. I think I'd like another 3-0 win, I think. Just keep ticking along, really. I mean, obviously, it depends what happens tomorrow night against City, you know, the confidence of the club and things like that, if we get beat tomorrow. Mm. It might make it a bit tougher on the weekend, but no, regardless, really, we should be beating Hull City at home, just like we did with Burnley.
Dov, a prediction from you?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with what Paul said. I think we'll win as well. I think it'll be a quite similar performance to that against Burnley as well. And Hull are obviously fighting for their lives, but I do think we'll win. I'll probably go with Paul actually and say 2-0 as well.
Fantastic stuff. Well, that is just about the end of the RedCafe.net podcast for this week. Do send us feedback, any questions you've got as well, because we do love to hear from you on the emails. The address is podcast@redcafe.net. I'm sure most of you would have already signed up to the Facebook group, but I believe we've got, what is it, something like 375 members now on the Facebook group. So do come along and join in on the Facebook group. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next week for episode 25.